Okay. Parshas Bamidbar. The Gemara says in Megillah, Ton Rabbanon, Ezra tikin Yisrael, Ezra, fix it within Klal Yisrael, she'kirin b'teichocha lifnei ha'atzeres. That one should read the parasha of Teichocha, i.e., last week's parasha, v'chukaisai, before Shavuos. Okay, the Mepharshim explain there why. The ideas are that Torah isn't a luxury, Torah is a necessity. You accept it, you live. You don't accept it, you don't. Okay, but that is the idea of Teichocha lifnei ha'atzeres. That is crucial, and you'll work out the whole year that you read the Teichocha before ha'atzeres. In other words, Bahar b'chukaisai, or certainly b'chukaisai, will always come before Shavuos. Interestingly though, Parshas Bamidbar also comes before Shavuos. I can't say it always does, but it generally does. I don't know, I haven't looked into every but it generally does. Nosa is always the Shabbos after Shavuos. Bamidbar is the Shabbos before Shavuos. If that's the case, then if Ezra was masaking that the Shabbos before Parshas Bamidbar should be before Shavuos, there must be there's a very, very good reason why Parshas Bamidbar is before Shavuos. There must be a message that takes us through Parshas Bamidbar that helps us understand what we're supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be thinking. Ultimately, as a last parasha, the last message we have from the Torah before we go to Matan Torah. What is this message? So, if you look into the parasha, you don't see very much. You know, the Goyim call Parshas the Bamidbar, they call the book Numbers, which that happens to be not so far off. If you look in the parasha, it's numbers. How many did Reuven have? How many did the tribe of Shimon have? Yehuda, all very inspiring, you know, but very nice. But how does that bring us towards Kabbalah Satoya? What does that do to inspire us to, as a thinking, living Jew? What does that do? So let's start off. The parasha begins. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'oil moyed. Be'echol lachodesh hasheni b'shana hashenis l'tzeisa me'eretz Mitzrayim lemur. Okay, so you're talking about the second year. Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Moshe Rabbeinu goes and is told to count Klal Yisrael. But the parasha begins. The parasha says, "Where was this done? B'midbar Sinai, in a midbar Sinai, in the middle of a desert." Now, as we know, anyone who's been following the storyline till now knows that we're going through the desert. I mean, Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, on the way to Eretz Yisrael. You know, you learn a bit of geography, you'll see there's desert there. So, why talk about the Midbar Sinai? What's the point of saying it was done in the Midbar Sinai? Obviously done in the Midbar. Says a Medrash. Elo, komi she'eino oise atzmoi kemidbar. Anyone who does not make himself into a Midbar, hefker, completely ownerless, like a Midbar is hefker, eino yochel liknois es ha'chochma. He cannot possibly acquire Chochma, v'hatoira, or can he acquire Torah? Lekach ne'ma b'midbar Sinai. And that is why it says b'midbar Sinai, to tell me that in order to acquire Torah, it's got to be done b'midbar Sinai. It's got to be done in a midbar, in a case of hefker. You don't have an opinion. You don't have a say. Let's hear what the Torah has to say about it. That is the first idea of midbar Sinai. That's the Medrash Rabbah in Aleph Vov. Says the Medrash carries on. Mikan. Listen very carefully. Mikan, from here, Shonu Chachomim, the Chachomim learn, the Gimel Devarim Nitna HaTorah. There are three elements where the Torah was given. Be'esh, in fire, Be'maim, in water, and Midbar, in a Midbar. Be'esh, Hadi of Be'esh, the Pasuk says, Vahar Sinai Oshan Kuloi. The Har Sinai was totally on fire, was smoking. Be'maim, Minayin, Hadi no Fumayim, the Pasuk says, Gam Shemayim, not of Fumayim, of him, not of my. And it talks about how Sinai was dripping with water. And Midbar, how do you know Torah is going to be in Midbar? Shenema, Vedaber Hashem, and Moshe, Midbar Sinai. It's given in Midbar Sinai. Okay? So, it says that Torah is given in three elements, with fire, with water, and with Midbar. Asks the Medrash, V'loma nitna b'shosh dvarim halal, why was the Torah given in these three things? Elo, to tell me, ma elu chinom, just that these three things are free, they don't have to cost you anything. L'chol boya ha'olam, to everyone in the world. Kach divrei Torah chinam hein, so to divrei Torah are free. You don't have to go along and spend a lot of money in order to get Torah. That is no excuse if you don't learn Torah. Okay? So that is the Medrash. Okay? So he brings very nicely, he brings Midbar Sinai. And then it says three things are free. Torah is given in Sinai, is given in Midbar, Mayim and Eish, etc. Ask the Mepharshim two very strong questions. Number one, Why give three examples of what's free? If a Torah, in other words, Hashem specially gave the Torah with fire, in a midbar, and with water to express three times this idea of something that's free. Hashem could have done it without fire. Hashem could have done it without water, just put in the midbar to show you that Torah is free. Why do it in three most unusual nisim? Torah, in the midbar, with fire, with water, to give over the expression of three times is something that's free. Don't do it with fire, don't do it with water, and I still got a deal of free from the midbar. Number one. So why do you have to have three examples of chinom that Torah is given in three different ways to give us three examples of chinom? It seems to be unnecessary, number one. Number two, if you look in the Loshon, it says, because it said b'midbar Sinai, mikan, from over here, the Chachamim learned that Torah is given Eish Amayim in Midbar. In other words, the fact that it says V'davar Hashem Amayim v'Midbar Sinai, in Midbar Sinai, from the fact that Torah is given in Midbar Sinai, we learn that Torah is given in three things, in Eish Amayim in Midbar Sinai. It's not from here. We know the Torah is given in Eish because it says V'har Sinai Kulay Oshon. We know the Torah is given in Mayim because it says Apostle Gam Shemayim not a full Mayim. The Shema is dripping with water. What's Peshat over here? Mikan. From this Pasuk of Adabash and Midbar Sinai, from here we learn that Torah is given in three things. Not from here. This is one of the three things, and the two other sources for the other things. It's not learnt from here. Get the kasha? So they say like this. Very, very beautiful. I forget who, but I believe it's a Chassam Sofer. I'm not sure, but I believe it's, sorry, it says like this. He says there are different extremes in the world. There's fire on one hand and there's water on the other. What is fire? So fire one can relate with very easily. Fire is passion. Fire is rhesus. Fire, guy's on fire. You know, you don't literally see him flapping in with waves, with flames on him. The guy's on fire means he is absolutely burning to do what has to be done. He is out there. He is doing whatever has to be done at any expense. He's out there. He's pumping. This person is really on fire. You know, there's nothing more than that. That's on one extreme. On the other extreme, there is a sheva al taaseh. Don't do. What is that? Water. Water is calming. Water is you putting out the fire. You extinguishing it. You're putting it out. Says Chazal, there are times when you need, in order to receive the Torah in the way it's supposed to be received, you need the kum va'aseh. You need to get up and go. You need the fire. There are other times when, on the contrary, take it easy, calm down. Don't do it. Sit down. Wait where you are. That's the sheva al ta'aseh. Sit and don't do. That is a mayim. And therefore, on one hand, we have certain mitzvahs of a kum va'aseh, get up and go. And sometimes, we have the sit down and relax. And that's what we should be doing. But what happens? Sometimes, we mix them up. Sometimes something antagonizes us and you're on fire and you yell and scream at the guy when in fact you should be just calming down. This should be the mind. Sometimes you should be doing something, you should be helping the guy and you should be standing up for the other person's rights, but you don't. Why? Because you're embarrassed. In other words, you're keeping quiet to use the water instead of being on fire. So therefore the fire and the water are two opposite extremes, but ultimately they should be used in different cases. How do we know when we should be using the fire and when we should be using the water? How do we know when we should be going out there being proactive and when we should be in water just sitting down, keeping quiet? How do we know that? The answer is, make yourself into a midbar. Take your ego out of things. Make yourself hefka. Relax. Take it easy. In other words, what this means is like this. Sometimes, don't allow yourself to get so taken in with your own personal agenda. A person's own agenda gets him mixed up. The Mrs. Sharon talks about this in Perek Chof. A person's own agenda sometimes makes him do things that he shouldn't really do. His own gaiva makes him get so annoyed with somebody when he shouldn't be getting annoyed. So the Pasuk, you know what? Whenever you want to know which tap to put on, the fire or the water, make yourself hefka. Take yourself out of it. Try and be objective. Take your own personality and your own agendas and your own natiyas out of this and try and attempt to be completely hefka. Be like a midbar. And then you can decide. Sleep on it. Mansur Shivi is a fantastic marshal. I'll give you an example. Unbelievable. And I try and do this. It's a cold winter morning. Cold winter morning. You know, Eretz Yisrael don't have such cold winters. But imagine you're out there, whether it's in Chicago, whether it's New York, whether it's in London, it's a freezing, freezing cold morning. You open the curtains, you're not sure whether you're alive or dead, right? It's all dark outside, it's absolutely freezing cold. So you're lying in your bed, and you've got a big duvet all the way over your nose, and you wake up, and you don't feel that good. You don't feel that good. Things, you know, you're not sure whether you're feeling well. So you think to yourself, listen, you know, there's a din of chazaka. You know, wherever you are, that's supposed to remain, right? So it's a din of a chazaka. Fine, so I have a mukhzuk to be sleeping. So I should be carrying sleep until I know otherwise, I shouldn't be sleeping. Okay. Number two, there's a mitzvah of an ishmatim oida nafshi seichem. You've got to look after yourself, right? And therefore, if I possibly could be getting ill by getting out of bed, it's a mitzvah for me to stay in bed. For me to go along and to get out of bed is poshut going against a mitzvah. Yeah? There's a mitzvah of chai behem. You know, I'm not mukhi to give up my life for tefillah, and therefore ultimately, it makes sense that I just carry on sleeping. But it could be that is the mind working a little bit too much. A bit too much sheva al tas, a little bit too much passive. Maybe Hashem wants you to get out of bed. And you're a little bit tired, okay. So have a cup of coffee and you'll manage. Maybe that's what you should be doing. Maybe you should be jumping out of your bed and saying, no, Yetzirah, get out of my life. I'm going to shul now. So how do you know what to do? How do you know? You're lying about what you're supposed to do. Says in Manchester Rosh Hashiva, Zachrin of Rach, what you should do is like this. Get out of bed, get dressed, put your coat on, hold your talis and tefillin, and go to the front door and open it up. And then decide where you're holding. Then decide if you're well enough to go to shul. Because there ready, you're neutral. There ready in the midbar. There ready, I'm out of bed. You know, to go back to bed and get undressed again is not so simple. It could be I'm not well. Therefore now go back to bed and get undressed. But if you're lying in your bed, you're in the middle of the water, you can't decide. And therefore you've got to make yourself into a midbar, and then when you make yourself neutral, that is how you're going to decide how you should continue. So that is Peshat in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, midbar, mikan, from over here, the midbar is the key. From over here, you have the Mayim and the Eish, but it can only be decided from the Midbar. In other words, the Midbar is the source that allows you to start making decisions whether it's Eish or Mayim. Mikan, from the Midbar is a springboard to allow you where you should be going, from the Eish or the Mayim. That is Mikan. And that's why you need three different things. There's sometimes a decision process done with a Midbar, there's Eish, and sometimes Mayim. So for this parsha is giving us the understanding of when you should be proactive, and when you should just step back and let the world take, you know, do what it has to do. This is a parasha. And I believe there's a theme running all the way through that teaches us this particular idea. The parasha begins and the parasha says, make a count. Su'u es roish kladas b'nei Yisrael mishpachoson b'es aboison b'mispah shemus kozochol gulgoloson. Go and count them. From 20 years onwards, etc., etc. In Pasuk Dalet it says, ve'itchem yiyu. And with them shall be with you, ish ish, a man, lemate, for each tribe, ish, roish, the base of voice of who. This man happens to be the head of the family. The elu shmois ha'anoshim, these are names of these people. Reuven, Esobi Shadeu, da. Rabbi Yisai, this parasha is not chronologically correct. Why? Because this parasha is Aleph Iyar of the second year of leaving Mitzrayim. Parshas Nosai, which is next week's parasha, is during the Yomei Meluim, which is Nisan, In other words, Parshas Nosai actually comes before Parshas Bamidbar. Okay? Now, you get that?
Yeah.
In Parshas Nosai, it said very clearly who the names of the Nasiim were. B'yoy Merishoy, Nosi, Bnei Yehuda, whatever it was. It says very clearly who the names of these people were. And it has all the names, exactly who they were, exactly the same in Parashas Nosi as it is in this week's Parasha. So why is it necessary, ask Shimon Shvab, why is it necessary to say again the names in this week's Parasha if already it says it in the next week's Parasha, which really ultimately took place beforehand? These aren't anonymous people, we know who these people are. These people are in the sea and brought down that we talked about, not yet, but we're going to talk about at least, in next week's power show, who actually did something beforehand. These people weren't anoshim. These people weren't anonymous. These people weren't persona non grata. These people were in the sea. So why the possibility of itchem you and shall be with you, Ish, ish, a man. He's not men. He said, itchem you, I'm the same. Should be with you, then the same. Not ish, ish. Ish, ish means anonymous people. These aren't anonymous. We've known who they are. Next, we already talked about them as being the same, number one. Number two, he says, the parasha says, at the end, Eile Kriya Ha'edah, these are the people in the Siyem Matas Voice. By the way, these are the Siyem. And the next post again, it says, V'yikach Moshe Es Hanoshim Ha'ele, took these Anoshim. Don't call them Anoshim, call them the Siyem. Yeah? And then it says again, I mean, V'ele Shmois Hanoshim. These are people that stand with you. It's the Eile Shmois Hanoshim. Why are they called Anoshim? What's going on over here? Says Rav Shimon Schwab, that these people were leaders. They're incredible leaders. To lead Klal Yisrael, to lead, to be a Nasi, to lead Klal Yisrael ahead of a Shevet, is not easy. These people were chosen. These people were not born into Gadlus. They weren't sons of Rosh Hashivas. These people were not born into kingdom. They actually became leaders because they were tremendously charismatic. They're tremendous tzaddikim, and they became leaders. You know, a God Lador is not voted. Nobody votes that this person should be a God Lador. He becomes a God Lador because he's proved himself. These people became the scene because they proved themselves. They became heads of tribes. Okay? These are the scene. These are big people. These were leaders in Klal Yisrael. However, says the parasha, do you think for 1 second that these people, with all their fire being leaders, telling people what to do, you know, telling people to be quiet during Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei, leading Klal Yisrael, you know, on the other hand, these people were Anoshim. Regular people. As far as they were concerned, they were nothing. As far as they are concerned, I'm a regular Yid. I'm nothing more than somebody else. As far as leadership is concerned, I've got to show leadership. I've got to show who I am. I've got to lead. I've got to stand up there and show who I am. But deep down, kulam anoshim, they're ish, they're regular people. In other words, when I have a job to do, even if it's with Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm a regular man. I don't feel any more special than anyone else. Even if I'm doing a tremendous job, I'm an ish. I'm just doing what I have to do. Says a pasuk, how did they become great? Eile Kriya Aidin Nasiya Matois. How did these people come within the Siyim? How did these people become great? Because Vayikach Moshe Es Anoshim Ha'ele. Because these people were taken because they felt they were Anoshim, because they were small. In other words, a great leader is not humble despite the fact that he's great. A great leader becomes a great leader because he believes that he is humble. That is how a person's got to look at his life in Yiddishkeit. On one hand is Eish, on one hand is fire, on one hand is going there, is leading Klal Yisrael and making decisions and becoming a powerful man, being a leader. But as far deep down in concern, who is he? He's Mayim. Mayim is Anova. Mayim is Anova. Mayim always goes from a high level to a low level. So here we find, on one hand, Eish, on the other hand, we find Mayim. We find examples. L'moshel, we have Reb Cheskel Abramsky. Reb Cheskel Abramsky, I've said this story over a couple of times. Reb Cheskel Abramsky was our Beis Din of the London Beis Din. A tremendous Ilui. When he retired, he wrote a Pirush on Tesefta. He was an unbelievable Gadol Batorah. Incredible, incredible mind. He was once called to the Old Bailey. And then England had had a big British Empire. Right? He's called to the Old Bailey, which is the highest court in the British Empire, to give witness about a particular law. And they called him up, and the judge there was sitting there. You have to understand what the Old Bailey is. The Old Bailey, you know, you got to understand it. It's also known that with the powdered wigs, and with the robes, and it's pachad, right? It's pachad, and you little dock there, and you've got this big people standing there talking down to you. It's very, very fierce. Anyway, he stands up there and he stands on the dock and he gives witness about a certain halacha. So the judge says to him, "Are you competent in this particular place of law, in the halachic law?" So he says, "Your Honor, there is nobody more competent than myself." So the judge says to him, "And the rabbi is humble too." He says, "Your Honor, I'm under oath." Okay? Another time, Dan Abramsky, there's a president of one of his shuls, had a lot of money, and swishes money around in a way that ultimately would have made another person be very careful to not to tread on his toes. A certain person, one of his community, a big gavir, a very wealthy man, was, you know, he overpowered people with money. One day, he had a meeting with Reb Cheskel Abramsky, and the man called his chauffeur to take them and give them a lift back home. So the chauffeur came with a Rolls Royce, and the chauffeur opened the door, and the rich man got in. So Reb Cheskel Abramsky took the rich man by the arm, pulled him out, and he said to him in Yiddish, "Wollt ich gewinn a Geschäftsmann? Wollt ich gewinn a größer Geschäftsmann wie euch? If I would have been a businessman, I would have been a bigger businessman than you." And he pulled him out, said, "You've got to give cover for Torah." And he sat inside the Rolls Royce first. Okay? This is a man who wasn't afraid of anybody. He was absolute ish. Absolute fire. You know, everyone's trembling from this rich man. He pulled him out from his old Rolls Royce, and he got him first. That was a man, kovod Torah, he was ish. On the other hand, there's a famous story of a little girl in Beit Vegan. He starts off the Hagroh Shul in the Chova Piska. That's Reb Cheskel Abramsky. There's a little girl standing outside playing with her friends, and he sees that she's crying. A little 4-year-old girl. Across the street, he goes across the little girl and says to her, "Meidle, what's the matter?" He said, "These girls, I've got a new dress," and the girl said, "It looks icky." "These girls said it looks icky? It's a beautiful dress. Tell the girls that the Rav of Beit Vegan says that you've got the most beautiful dress." He said, "Really? Yes." And off the girls went skipping. "Oh, Reb Cheskel Abramsky said I've got a beautiful dress." Right? This is somebody who had tremendous fire. On the other hand, tremendous humility. Nobody was to nobody. That is Reb Moshe Feinstein. Reb Moshe Feinstein, his psak. He could have achrenim, fire brimstone against him. He doesn't budge. He's got his psak. He's fire. Reb Moshe's mamish fire. When it comes to himself, when it comes to Anoshim, famous stories, walking the street, the mother's calling, "Hey, Moshe, where are you?" Reb Moshe Feinstein turns around. "Who's calling me? Someone calling me?" When he's 90 years old, he thought that somebody's calling Moshe, they're calling him. Right? On one hand, it's fire. On the other hand, it's water. This is the idea. It's leadership. It's doing what you have to do. On the other hand, okay, but the Maisa, I'm, it's my job, and I have to do what I have to do with the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm an Anoshim. That's the first lesson. The second lesson the Pasuk says in Perek Gimel Pasuk Tesvov. Now this is a klal, an unbelievable klal. The Pasuk says, "Pekoid es b'nei Levi lebeis avoysel nishpachoysom. Count b'nei Yisrael separately. Count them according to the families. Kol zocher mibein chodesh omara tifkadeim. Every zocher from the age of 1 month, count them." Now what are you counting these little babies of 1 month for? First of all, why wait till 1 month? So Rashi says technically because a baby less than a month could die, and therefore we don't know whether he's considered healthy. Okay, so after a month he already has a bit of a track record, he's going to be healthy. Okay, but he's counted. Pekoid, Rabbi say, pekoid means to count them. Count them for what? For knowing how many levim there are? Count them for what? The Pasuk says. And Rashi explains already. Hu nimna likrois shema mishmeres hakodesh. He is being counted to be part of the civil guard, as it were. To be part of the guard that's going to be guarding Rebbeinu Shlomo's Mishkan. So from 1 month on, 1 month old, these people are counted in a special, unique, qualified group of people who are going to be guarding the Mishkan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, to be a person guarding Mishkan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be a tzaddik. You have to know what you're doing. You have to know whether you want to do it. You have to know whether you're willing to give up your life as a Levi, a man of the cloth, as it were. Maybe you want to be into business. Maybe you want to make some money. So how can you start counting the Levim as this, as he is number one, he's number two, he's number three. These people are going to be the ones who are going to be using the Mishmeres. These people are going to be the ones serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Maybe they aren't. Maybe they're going to go for Derech. Or maybe they're going to want to go to business. He doesn't want to study. He wants to become a lawyer. He doesn't want to become a person walking around a Mishkan. Yeah, he's entitled to. So how can you count them as one of those people part of the club before you've even got anywhere near there? Who maybe they're going to drop off? How can you count them already? Get the kasha? And so asks, the Medrash asks this kasha. And the Medrash has many, many terutzim. Says Rav Shimon Schwab again. He said, what was the greatest compliment Klal Yisrael had? What was the greatest compliment Moshe Rabbeinu gave, Shevet Levi? The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says later on, he says, Ho'oimeh le'oviv ule'imoy le'ir'isiv. My father and mother I didn't see. Ves ochiv le'hikid, did not see the brother. Vesponov lo yoda. What's going on over there? So Rashi explains, when it came to the time of the Egel, then Nebuch Klal Yisrael, none of Levi, but Klal Yisrael was serving the Egel. So what did they do? Moshe Rabbeinu called up Mila Hashem Elai. Who is on my side? Who's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the whole Shevet Levi came out. Says a pasuk, there were times where Shevet Levi had to go and kill their own brother through the mother. Okay, it was not a brother, not from the same tribe, but from a mother, a stepbrother, their own brother they killed. There were times when they killed the grandfather, not the father's father, but the mother's father from a different tribe. They went and they stabbed him to death. They killed him. The times sometimes they killed their own grandchild, the daughter's son. If he served about his own, they went and killed him. There's Bonav Lehiki. They didn't see anything. What did they see? The Aviv and Imalir Isiv. There's Ochiv Lehiki. They didn't know anything. They did what they had to do. That is Shevet Levi. They have values that go above natural loyalty. Says of Shimon Schwab, that if a child can be born into a family, that the child sees that the most powerful thing that runs a house is not what I want, what my agenda is, what I need. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And I'm willing to sacrifice and murder my own grandchildren and kill my own grandfather, kill my own brothers, go against my own thing, because that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm blind to everything else. You know what's going to happen? A little 1-month-year-old baby in the cot is going to realize that this house values HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than it values anything else. If it's money, or if it's fame, or if it's covered, it doesn't make a difference to me. It is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, is what I'm going to be doing. And therefore, this month-old baby can be counted as one of those people who are going to be Mishmeres Hashem. These people, you can be quite sure that this child, we're seeing this Mesiras Nefesh, is guaranteed to be one of the soldiers that are going to be on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's army, making sure nobody else does anything. Because this child knows, when push comes to shove, they'll go and they'll kill their own children, and grandchildren, and parents, and whatever it is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do it. Because they have the value system of HaKadosh Baruch Hu over and above everything else. That guarantees success in children. That is fire. That is fire. Fire to go along and do the most incredible acts of Mesiras Nefesh, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do it. That guarantees that a month-year-old baby can be counted as one of those people who are going to be part of the army. That is what can be counted. Practically, how does it come practically? How does one guarantee this in their own life? No, Baruch Hashem, not ask every other day, Mila Hashem Elai, and go along killing grandparents. Right? How does one do this? So I thought a couple of examples. One example is in the middle of an outing, middle of a trip, you know, eating ice cream on the beach, and you're really having fun, the kids are splashing around, and you say, kids, we've got to leave. Why, daddy? We're enjoying us. We've got to leave. Why? If we don't leave now, you're going to miss Mincha. And these kids see that you're enjoying yourself. But you know what? What I enjoy now is totally relevant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to make sure I get back in time for Mincha. We're leaving now. We're going for Mincha. You have a beautiful new hat. And the children know that you're wearing a new hat for Yontov. It's beautiful. It's black. You've chosen it. You've gone to the shop. You're very happy. A wind goes in the street. The wind knocks your hat off and gets it dirty. Right? What do? You walk around with Shabbos with a big white mark on your hat. You know why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me not to clean it on Shabbos. It doesn't matter if I have a new hat. It doesn't matter that it doesn't look nice anymore. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Enough messages of this go through to a child, and that will guarantee the success of a child. If a child sees that the value system is based on loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more above everything else, that fire will go through to a child. On the other hand, that's a fire. On the other hand, we have an exact opposite message when it comes to water. What is that? And we'll finish off with this. Plenty more to say. We'll finish off with this. The pasuk says, "Ish al digloi ba'oisoi sebeisa voisam yachnu bnei Yisrael." Klal Yisrael have been counted. They've been counted very clearly. Each tribe amongst how many they have. Have you noticed this? I'm sure anyone who's been through Parashat Bamidbar is shocked by this. You've been through pasuk after pasuk after pasuk. Reuven had this amount. Shimon had this. Yehuda had this. Yisachar had this. All the amounts. And then you have the total. 603,550, you have the total, right? And then, now they're split up into different tribes, into different positions, right? So therefore, Reuven was over here, and now Reuven's amount was this and this amount, yeah? We just talked about how many they had. Haven't forgotten, it's the last parashah, the last period. And then at the end it says as well, And by the way, the total amount was X. Of course the total amount was X. It just did the total amount. So why are we going through and giving the numbers over again? Just say, Reuven, the previous parasha, the previous payout was X amount. And they were at this side of the Mishkan. Why is it talking about, yeah, Reuven is this amount? Again. Why is that necessary? So again, Rav Shimon Shvab goes through with a beautiful message. And he says that why was Klal Yisrael counted? What's the day of counting Klal Yisrael? What for? One of the reasons is Matoich Chivavosam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. And something you love, you count. Something you love, you count. What's the love over here? So he says the love over here was an incredible message. He says Klal Yisrael were dying to be close, to live close to the Mishkan. Closer to the Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful Hashraas HaShchina. You know, look at the old city, Lahavdol. Yeah? What people are willing to pay to live close to the Kosel. Any amounts of crazy money. And it's not easy living in the old city. Anyone who's living in the old city, really? Yeah? It's not easy. And people do it because they want to be close to the Kosel. Be close to the... And what is a Kosel? Unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash. What people did to live next to the Mishkan, they must have jostled, they must have got it. Unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael, I want you to pack up and leave. Shevet Levi are the ones right around. I want you to move to Chum Shabbos. There's a huge area around the Mishkan. Pack up and go somewhere else. Find yourself a different spot. B'nai Levi around here. What is this like? This is like having a perfect place in Shul. Now you've always davened in the Mizrach because you can daven better and you know nobody disturbs you. Beautiful place in Mizrach, and that's where you are. You really are, that is your Mokum Kavua. And all of a sudden a new Gabba comes in and the Gabba says, sorry, you've been in Mizrach for the last 20 years? Stand up please. Yankel from the back, you sit over there please. You make your blood boil. You make your blood boil. A chutzpah, you know, I want to be Mizrach, you know. We don't hear a word of complaint. Klal Yisrael did exactly what Rabbi Yisrael told them to do. Why? Because sometimes the passion you have for doing Ratzon Hashem is by Shev Va'al Taseh. It's by water. Hashem, you want me to do this? I'm not going to fight for it. I'll do exactly as he said. I'll listen. Yeah, move me aside. I'm not going to stand up and fight me, Hashem. That's fire. Sometimes it's water. You want to move me aside? That's what's best. I won't do anything. Here, move me any way you want me to move me. Because that is Ratzon Hashem. There's sometimes you've got to stand up and say Mila Shem Alai and kill your grandchildren and kill your grandparents if that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. That's loyalty. And sometimes you just completely passive. You got me to move me, no problem. It's further away from the Shekhinah. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Fine, that's the ultimate mind. This week's parasha is all about being the Midbar, deciding when you turn on the Mayim, when you turn on the Eish, knowing exactly when this passion should be used and when stepping back is the correct option. And that, we'll get this absolutely clear. If a person is absolutely perfectly involved in what should be done, he can be a perfect Eved Hashem. To finish off with one vote, the Balaturim is a beautiful Balaturim. Balaturim says in Perik Beis Posuk Vov, the Balaturim says, Posuk Zayin, in all the other groupings, it says Vahachonim, etc., etc. And so all of them, for example, it'd say Dega Machne Ephraim, and talk about Ephraim, Umate Binyamin, and Mate Binyamin, right? And it bring, and it'll say and. It comes to Perik Beis Posuk Zayin, it says the Chonim in the mid, there was Yisachar, and then the Posuk says Mate Zevulun, but Nasi Lebnei Zevulun. Why didn't it say Umate Zevulun? It says Mate Zevulun. Why didn't it say Umate Zevulun? Do you see that? It should say and Mate Zevulun. Why? Mate Zevulun. Say Umate. Says the Balaturim. V'loy Oma Umater K'derech Sho'ime Ba'achirim. Does not say Umate like says about other ones. L'fish Zevulun Hoy Mefarnes Li Yisachar. Because Zevulun was a business people and they financed Yisachar. And therefore Lamedcho Sho'hoy Zevulun Oysa B'pragmatia. Zvulun was busy in business. And he put and he financed and he supported into the mouth of Yisachar. Therefore the apostle did not want to make them as if one is less than the other. the schar of supporting somebody in Torah is as important as learning Torah itself. And therefore he says, Lechein choshuva kol kamate echod. It's all like one big mate. Ukeila oma yisocha mate zvulun. Yisocha is the group of zvulun. In other words, here you have people, different jobs. Some people are business people. Some people are learning. But ultimately, if you know what you should be doing, if you're midbar, you make a decision correctly, and you know, even if you're in business, you can be helping Torah. And sometimes in Torah, you should be helping those people, mimechazos, people in business, whatever it is. You are careful to decide in a very, very careful midbar hefka way. Hefka means in this context, not have your own agenda. Then you know when to use a eish, when to use a mind, and be zoicha to Torah in the Kabbalah of Torah that's given by midbar, by eish, by mind.